Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Welcome to another episode of Bailcast. I'm Gio.
And I'm Bart.
And if you can't tell, I'm cold as shit right now.
Is that why you just straight up tore a piece of our carpet and put it on?
I hope this is not our carpet. If your carpet looks like my coat, you need a new carpet.
You know what I'm going to feel really sad for?
What?
The side of our bed. You know how like the best position for you to finally orgasm is when you have your legs up, right? And then you like it when I put it in nice and slow and pull it out. But then you also have the vibrator.
Am I on my back?
On your clit.
Yeah.
And then your...
What the fuck is... What? Okay.
And then your butt's like right on the edge of the bed.
It's fucking 8 a.m. right now.
And then, so when we try to bust at the same time, right?
Is that what we try to do? I just try to bust on my own.
Well, I'm trying to bust with you.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to hold on to dear life. Don't bust. And then finally when I do, and then, you know, like sometimes you could bust by going like this, or you could bust by pulling out, right?
Oh.
Because just any.
Bust pulling out?
Yeah, because it's really just about the stimulation, right? So this is getting, like putting it in is getting stimulated, pulling it out is getting stimulated.
Wow.
So sometimes you can bust by pulling it out or by pulling it in, but I'm not thinking whether I'm in or out. I'm just getting the stimulation to where I need to bust, right? And the problem is sometimes it's happening as I'm pulling out. And those are the times when their jizz gets on the carpet. And since we always do that at the same spot, I'm like, is there going to be like,
there is,
if we have viewers coming in with a black light, are they going to just see like an entire crusted carpeted area?
That's their fault. Like they're just going in looking for fucking trouble. So
that makes me think, should we be inspecting the hotel floors?
Oh, no. I can't.
Why?
Because it's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you find out how the condition of their kitchen.
Yeah.
And then, at least for me, it fucks with my mind too hard where I'm like, I can't eat here anymore. Like, I just won't be able to eat any regular food.
Oh, I see.
So, I don't want to know. Like, the less I know, the happier I am.
Your jacket just made me think of that. Because I'm like, it looks really nice now. But if someone busted all over it, it's not going to look as nice.
I think it applies to everything.
Really?
Yeah. Usually things that you bust on don't really look that good afterwards.
No. Imagine you busted on some shaved ice. It looks just like the condensed milk.
I don't know.
It probably look really good. Probably tasty.
Maybe that's why I don't like condensed milk.
You don't like condensed milk?
I mean, the way it looks. It tastes bomb. Like if I close my eyes, I love it.
It's one of the most delicious things in the world.
It is. It's straight sugar. So I love it.
Yeah.
But the way it looks, maybe because it's like just...
I always thought finesse looked like cum.
The shampoo there. Yeah.
Looks very cummy.
That looks like cum.
In high school, you know how I went to a military boarding school?
So one I feel like that's all guys do. Just think about their dick and jizz, like their whole adolescent.
It's so overwhelming. There's no other way you could even think of anything else.
Is it kind of like the Superbad scene where he has a whole book of just nothing but dicks?
Yeah, and he's drawing all the dicks. But for dudes, that's all you're thinking about. It's just dicks and sex and just like that. I think that's your primal driver.
Is it still happening right now at 36?
It's way less.
What's way? Like, give me a scale.
Like before, I don't know. I'm just throwing stupid numbers out there. But before, maybe I'm like thinking about sex maybe like 10,000 times a day. Now it's maybe 5,000 or 3,000.
Wow, that's still a lot.
Yeah. It's like anything can trigger it. Like, you know, we were just at McDonald's, right? I put my card in and she goes, oh, can you please remove it? I'm like, oh, that's the first time I didn't think about sex. But even by thinking about that, I did think about sex at a to-go place. Because usually they go, you can pull it out now. And I'm like,
Who the fuck is talking to you like that?
What if I don't want to pull it out now, huh?
You better fucking pull it out. Huh, is baby? It with me? Did I say that?
Huh, baby?
You better fucking pull it out. Don't even put it in.
Well, they tell you to put it in. They go, you could put it in here. I'm like, oh, you know I will.
Would you, I know you're not careless with your dick, but I think as the older that we get.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Happy New Year.
That's how I wanted to start the podcast. But yeah, there we go. Happy New Year. But now with the wisdom that you have, would you do crazier shit with sex? Like, would you do like glory holes or would you do like...
Glory holes? Hell no.
Why?
I think glory holes is like a clear sign of desperacy.
I mean, it sounds like a fun time.
No, because I think to me, that's for like your truck driver or you're
you watch too many movies.
No, like you're a truck driver, or you can't get laid no matter what, and you just got to get off somehow. Like you're like borderline about to tell your best friend to jerk you off while you close your eyes and pretend like it's someone else. It's like that's, you know,
because that's wild. Because
for I think the older I get, the more particular I'm gonna be. So maybe maybe before, like let's say if I was single, right? Maybe if I was like, I don't know, 18, 19, maybe I'd be down with some fives, right? Then you get older, like it's gotta be sevens or above. Then it's gotta be like eights or above, nines or above. And then as I get older.
What fees were you in when you met me?
Oh, I think like twos and above.
Fuck you.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so like it gets more and more particular.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know what I want that much more now, and it takes more stimulation. Just like everything else, right? Like you get like a 10-year-old Honda Civic when you're in high school. You're like, hell yeah, right? And then now, like people our age go straight to the cars that they want. Maybe an Infiniti or a BMW. Or like you just straight skip like the Civic, you know? Yeah.
So for you then, it's all about the appearance? Because you're like twos, fives, whatever. Or you're just talking about the package?
Well, that, it starts off there, right? It's like, because I'm a Mac user. So it starts off there. It starts off with the aesthetic. It looks good, right? I don't give a shit if like some, it's like, oh, this one's a PC. And there's some glowing alien head with a fucking red lit.
You could customize all that shit.
Yeah, red lit keyboard. And it has like quadruple genumal Pentium processor. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. It looks like shit.
Yeah.
So I'm a Mac user. So when it comes to being a Mac user, it starts off with the package first. And then I care about what this package can do later. Not the other way around.
Oh.
At least for me.
Yeah, I think for me, and I think for most females, not all, but for the majority of us, I think we're a little bit more forgiving when it comes to the appearance. So of course we want something that catches our attention, right? So we'll be like, oh, that guy's attractive. But that's not like the first thing that we look at or the thing that we hope, you know, that captivates us.
So like, let's say there's a female glory hole, right? Where like it's a hole that you bend over on all fours and then you back your pussy up into. Let's say on one.
Is that what you pictured?
Yeah. Let's say behind one glory hole is the ugliest motherfucker you've ever seen. But this guy is destined to give you the craziest orgasm. Or a guy that really sucks at licking pussy. But this guy is like the most man dime piece you've ever seen. Which hole are you going to back yourself into?
That's all I got?
That's all you got.
Oh, the ugly guy for sure.
Really?
Yeah, sex is important, man. It better be good sex too. Whack sex is fucking whack.
I think for most for most dudes, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but I feel like most dudes would go into the finest chick with, as long as it's not painful, the finest chick hole.
No, if the sex is whack, then they start looking whack. Really? Because I think the older I'm getting, I also like being more in of like submissive. I don't know what kind of sexer am I? Because I feel like I'm partially submissive, but then I'm also partially.
I'm still trying to figure that out. Who you are in real life?
Wait, are you serious?
All around, yeah.
Really? You promise? You're still trying to figure me out? Wait, are you fucking with me? You're doing that Taika fucking messing face.
No, I mean.
What the fuck? Who says no like that? And then I'm supposed to be convinced? No.
Because I think you're a TikToker.
The fuck does that mean?
TikTok.
What does that mean?
You switch all the time.
Where in life?
Like a pendulum, yeah. All the time.
Like, whoa. I'm feeling attacked here, okay?
No, like sometimes you want to be like all like manly, but not in the like gender, but like just like the energy. Like you want to be like this
masculine energy?
Yeah. And then sometimes you know, you want to be like, oh, take care of me and stuff. You know, just take care of me.
When do I say take care of me?
It's the energy.
Oh, I see.
You don't ever say I'm a man either. It's just that you just have this energy about you.
Yeah.
That sometimes you don't look very huggable. Sometimes you look very huggable.
Okay.
And same thing happens with in sex too. Like sometimes you just have this, a man.
Really?
But during then, like, sex? But like the female version of it.
Yeah. But during
sex? Not as much during sex as in real life.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I like real life with you more, way more than sex, because it's just more pleasant to be around.
Wait, you like me? Wait, what?
You got to put it together. I'm not going to repeat myself.
So you like me more in real life than you do in sex?
Mm-hmm.
But
that's what I just said.
I think I'm trying to calculate it here.
You gotta put it together. Hey, you gotta do quick math.
Fine, but I'm like, you don't like the masculine energy.
No.
But you said you like it right now. That's why I'm confused.
When have I ever said I liked it?
You said you like it in real life more than you like it in sex.
Yeah, that's the first equation. What's the second equation? You gotta add the two equations together and then you get the answer.
I know. Give me the answer. Why are you trying to make me fucking do math here?
I thought we're having a conversation.
We are, but why are you trying to give me homework?
It's a layer cake. It's tres leches. There's three different milks in here. You got to figure out what the taste is at the end. I can't do tasting for you.
Hey, you look kind of nice today.
Thank you, mama.
Yeah, good for you.
Thank you. Kind of.
Yeah, why do you look so pretty?
Because we're about to go on a trip.
You look so handsome.
Oh, thank you. And it's finally cold.
Yeah.
So I can actually wear this without sweating my fucking ass off.
So you're not sweaty right now?
No. But when I was moving all our luggage around in the morning, I did start feeling droplets down my spine. I'm like, fuck. Like, for once, I would love to know how it feels to be one of those people that go, I don't sweat. You know those people?
Me.
Yeah.
Me, I would love to know.
Because you're one of those people.
Ask me. Oh, you want to experience it.
I wish I knew what it felt like.
Gotcha.
Like, I know maybe like 10 people that go, I don't sweat. And like, no matter what, like they can probably run a mile and then go sleep in bed and not feel sticky.
Is that healthy?
I don't know.
I feel like, I mean, what is sweat? Like, I know, like, I mean, what's the purpose of it? To help us not overheat?
Yes, to help you cool down.
So then that means those people don't ever get that hot.
Yeah, so I'm also thinking if you don't sweat, maybe that's a super healthy thing. Maybe that means like
your body's
always like running at like a, you know, like I feel like your body is a low rumble, right? Like a muscle car. And you can like rev it high. But I feel like if I'm sweating, and this is just obviously anecdotal, it feels like I'm already like, that's what I feel like. I'm already
that's
like
funny.
I'm already redlining. So I'm yeah. like, is my body no good? Because I feel like my body is already on the verge of like redlining, and that's why it's so easy for me to sweat.
Who knows, man?
I could literally jump out of bed, and if I sprint to our front door, I'm on the verge. I could already feel.
Where do you sweat first? Because I never see it on your forehead or on your face.
My spine.
That's the first. Like, oh, I'm fucking hot.
I could feel it there. I could feel it on my back. So it's getting really hot there. Then I can literally feel the sweat coming through the pores of my forehead. I could feel it in my armpits. Like after every podcast, both of my armpits are wet.
I think I don't know. Maybe it's my anxiety or whatever, but I could be cold like this, but my armpits will be like really sweaty.
Oh yeah. That's just being either anxiety or adrenaline or being nervous.
Yeah. I get that a lot. All the time.
That's
Yeah.
So you don't sweat anywhere but those two places.
Yeah.
Which also makes sense because that's where our what's the word? You know the word, our communicators.
Oh.
You know how dogs like
pheromones.
That's where our pheromones come from.
Pheromones.
Yeah, not F-U-R.
Pheromones.
How do you spell pheromones?
Not F-U-R.
Good.
How do you spell it?
P-H-E-R-O.
Is it really?
Yeah, pheromones.
What the fuck? The English language is so goddamn confusing. Like, just trying to spell anything all the time. I'm always like, wait, how do you spell that? It's like, I don't want to memorize all kinds of shit.
Yeah, all the rules, like, they go against each other all the time.
Dude, my mind was blown when I figured out that all languages have, like, a syllable next to them. Or not all of them, but, like.
Syllable?
So I say like.
Right.
L-I.
Right.
The U-M. Okay. There's always a syllable next to it. Like Korean's kind of like that too.
What do you mean syllable next
like
to
a,
it?
Like what is it? Not a, fuck, my brain is not working this early, but.
What's new?
Hey. A vowel. That's what I meant to say. Jesus. Wow. A vowel. It has a vowel. Like Spanish has all of that.
Yeah.
Like every single word has a vowel next to it.
Yeah.
The English language too, right?
Technically, I'm just going to guess.
If that works.
I'm going to guess because I literally know everything in the world. I think all languages have vowels that connects the consonants and you have to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, this is
because you can't just be like, unless there's a language that's literally like. Kind of sounds like the.
You know everything.
The native Mexican language.
Native?
You know how they're like Tenochtitlan. There's like a lot of like where you would put vowels in the modern language. There's no like Chitlan or Chitlan.
What the fuck is going on?
You know, like,
sounds like you're communicating with aliens like, right now. Mazatlan,
like,
what's an MA? What the fuck? You're already done.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm like trying to think of the all of those words, but no, they all have it. And it's so stupid because when I figured it out, I was like, hey, wait a minute. It was so dumb.
Yeah.
Like I've been making so many dumb connections.
Those are the vowels, at least when it comes to singing. And that's why, you know, when people have accents and when they sing, all of a sudden their accents go away. Mm. You never noticed that?
Yes.
Like you're like, wait.
What kind of? They still have it.
If they're a good singer, it's gone. Even if they're like Chinese or something. The accent should go away.
Why?
Because the note that you're holding is on the vowel. So when you're holding it on the vowel and you're singing the vowel the right way, and by right way, I don't mean I don't mean the English way. I mean the way that that optimizes your voice box that way, then it should completely go away.
Who dictates what optimizes the voice box?
The medical professionals. And the singing technique.
Really?
Yeah. So when you sing kiss, like the eye, you don't
your eyebrows so sharp.
I don't know. But you don't wanna, everything should be low, right? So that it doesn't sound nasally. So it should be like cuss. So if you listen to people that sing, instead of like A E I O U, it's more like U. Yeah.
Is that how you? Is that what they taught you?
That's how you're supposed to sing, yeah.
So that's A E I O U.
Yeah. So when they're singing, we're not supposed to sing like me 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 me. It's supposed to be like me 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 me.
It just sounds like you just went.
Like, you see, one's nasal and one. It's very slight difference, but it makes a world of a difference. So if you see everyone that sings like do re fa sol la mi whatever, it's all gonna sound the same if they're pronouncing it correctly.
In the same key, then.
Do, re. It's not going to be like, do, re, re. No, it won't be like that.
Yeah, because the one goes do, the other one goes do. Yeah.
Do, do, re, re, fa,
so. Do you,
Yeah.
Fine. We're gonna pause real quick.
Okay.
And we're back. Do you ever plan on taking any singing lessons again?
Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm. 2021 or just when everything's said and done?
I don't know. Maybe 2021, maybe 2022. Right now with my workload, I feel like I'm pretty maxed out.
Yeah.
You know, like I do JK Barbell. Those are my two, I guess, time takers. The next big thing I want to squeeze in there is
jiu-jitsu.
Getting like movies in.
Oh.
Like that kind of stuff, jiu-jitsu, that's like my own personal, like that's a different category. But like my main, I guess, hustle and passion and things that I can live off of.
Yeah, okay.
Like that category.
Yeah.
Because I also put singing in that category too. Because I'm an entertainer.
In the hustle?
In the passion. Like creative passion to become... creative passion to become job category.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So like jiu-jitsu I put in my personal.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look good on camera and it's literally for me.
Yeah.
But if I were to take karate or taekwondo or something like that, I'd put it in the other category.
That makes sense.
Because now it's more like...
It's a tool.
You could totally use it for screen fighting.
You can monetize it.
Yes. And then it's also something I'm passionate about and still creative.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I view it. Right now, my two main things is Barbell JK. The minute I have a little bit more time, I want to do movies and then also my children's book. And then once I start and am able to like delegate things more, and if I can free up more time, the next two things I want to do is start taking singing lessons and doing stand-up.
Cool. Wait, why stand up? Especially right now, no one's doing stand up. They're doing it online.
Well, when I'm thinking about goals, I'm not thinking about context or circumstance or the how. I just think about what I want to do.
Gotcha.
So that's how I think about things. And then once I figure out what I want to do, what the end goal is, then I look at the landscape in front of me and then I figure out how to navigate. But I first think about what my destination is. And so I want to do stand up because I think across all platforms, something I'm very passionate about is storytelling. And I think telling my unique story in a way that relates to a lot of people and helps other people kind of like laugh away the same type of
upbringing
or pain or even just enjoying happiness together. that's what I love about stand-up and storytelling. And I think stories can be told in so many different formats. But what I love about stand-up, it's just me. Me, my microphone, my audience.
And that's scary.
And it's just very direct connection. But I don't have, because sometimes I'll try to tell the story, but like on JK News, for example, right? Super awesome. Improv show. We it's like almost like a freestyle cipher. But it's almost impossible to get your thought out from A to Z.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I might start something.
It's a tangent.
And I want to get somewhere, but like Joe throws something in and it already makes a left turn. Steve throws something, makes a right turn. And by that time, I can't stick to my guns. Because if I do, then I ruin the show. You can feel someone try to hijack the conversation. So I'm already on the next thing that Steve's trying to say or you're trying to say, you know?
Yeah, that's the first rule of like improv, right? Like you're yes anding everything. So yeah, you can't really tell a story if you're improvising.
Yeah, because you could literally be like I can literally be telling about how my mom just died. And then if you say, oh, did you see that blue ball? I'll be like, oh, my mom just died right now. Sucks so bad. Say, did you see the blue ball?
Did you see the blue ball?
The blue ball. You know, I immediately have to jump on that. That's what an improv show is. So I have to immediately throw that my mom just died out the window, you know?
Yeah.
And then so like with stand-up, I think what's cool about it is like at least a couple times that I've done it, when you're doing it, you can literally like you know the tools of comedy and how to get a laugh and how to and like work the crowd, right? But as you're getting your point out, you can almost feel the energy of the crowd. And then you can like make your own left turn or make your own right turn. And then you could put that idea on a shelf. And then you know that it's there. And then later you talk about another point. And then later you do your own callback and makes it like super funny because you just set up your own alley-oop. And it's just such a cool like craft and form of storytelling that you don't need cameras, you don't need a producer, you don't need lots of money and resources and stuff. So to me, it's like one of the purest forms of storytelling. It's literally like a campfire setting, you know?
So that's freaking cool.
That's what made me really, that's what made me like stand up the first time around I was doing it. And then I've been writing just little bits down too as I'm driving and stuff. Always write bits.
Why do you always do that when you're fucking driving?
I don't know. I guess like when you have ADHD, like when your main brain is occupied, that's when the creative stuff comes out.
Yeah, but what the fuck? Do it when you're not risking other people's lives. That's annoying.
Would you rather do it while we're having sex or would you rather do it while I'm driving?
Having sex.
Okay, then I'll keep my notepad next to me next time.
Yeah, that's so bad. You got to stop doing that shit.
I don't do
it
when I'm driving. I do it when I'm at the red light. I stop and I have red light. I go, hold that thought. I even turn the radio off. Hold that thought. Okay, I'm at the red light. And I go,
all right, fine. That's better.
And then I wait for the person to go, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, oh, thank you for the reminder. And then I put the phone down.
Damn. Okay, well.
Just kidding. I don't do that.
Wait, which one don't you do? Because the driving, you do it at the red light?
I do it at a red light, but I don't wait for them to beep, beep, beep me.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Because I'm literally texting like this. So I can see the green light happen.
Okay, good.
That's on my phone.
Because I was about to kick your ass. No, that's good. That's dope. I don't think I could ever do stand up.
Why?
I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't think I could ever do it. I don't know. I've grown a lot.
What? What's like, because you had an initial instinctual feeling towards it, right? What's that instinctual primal, without getting too heady about it, what's the instinctual thing that makes you go, ooh, I don't know?
Being the center of attention.
Oh, you don't like it all eyes on me?
No, I don't.
That's the part of stand-up.
I do and I don't.
That's the part of stand-up I don't like either.
Yeah, I do and I don't. I do because, I mean, it always feels good. I like good attention on me.
Okay.
I like that. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's some people out there that might not like it. So I like good attention. I just don't want the attention to ever be bad. So I think in a space where you're vulnerable like that and it's just you and you're the one that's responsible for everyone else's night, that's just too much pressure on me that I'm like, fuck. Because as it is, I'm already like, if I love you, then I want to do everything I can to make you feel the best.
Yeah.
So now I have this connection with this crowd if I'm a stand-up comedian and now I feel like I want to give you my best and if I don't give you my best, oh my gosh.
What about if someone wrote a script for you and then you recited it?
Are we still calling it comedy at this point or just performing? Because if I'm performing, I could do it.
So yeah, what's the difference? Is stand-up comedy the one thing that's like I don't want to do it, or just
maybe
performance.
It is. Maybe it's daunting for me because I understand the process because I saw you go through it, right? But I think the daunting part for me is just being vulnerable with the jokes. Like you might just be cringy. So now it's all you know?
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that part would be the negative attention that I don't want.
Yeah.
But I know it helps you grow.
That's so the part of comedy. I don't mind. Yeah, that's the part of comedy that's so tough when you do stand up. I mean, even in JK News, right? Like sometimes like the best jokes.
But it's different on JK News. Because you have like five other people making it funnier or clowning you. So like the attention gets off of you real quick.
Yeah. But then now it's your responsibility to do that to yourself if you do it. Good.
That's the hard part.
And that's when the masterful comedian comes in, you know?
That's why fucking Chappelle's the shit. Because like he's able to just sit there and like he's just talking you through his thought process. But I think because he's so seasoned, he's making you laugh the whole way through.
He's also a genius.
I think so.
So Dave Chappelle, like what's most masterful about his stand-up is that he can get you to have these deep primal laughs about the most cerebral shit.
Give me an example.
Like he could talk about institutionalized oppression, right? He can talk, that's the subject matter.
Yeah.
And then, or he talks about how like police needs to get their act together, right? Like he starts reducing this police violence and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very cerebral, political stuff. And usually it's hard to get like a type of laugh as if someone gets kicked in the nuts, you know? Because getting kicked in the nuts is a very primal laugh. But he's able to somehow connect the two.
Yeah.
Like even his one bit where, oh man, I can't even redo his bits, but like he was talking about LGBTQ, right, in the car. And then it was like each person was a letter. Do you remember that stand-up?
Mm-mm.
Oh, but it was just like, yeah, that's like a touchy subject. And he was able to relate it back to just friends in a car. So like his ability to tie those two things or take a subject matter that's very heady and then make it where it's extremely relatable. Because to get that deep laugh, it has to be relatable.
Right.
So people that usually get those deep laughs are like Gabriel Iglesias, George Lopez, Kevin Hart. They can get those deep laughs, right? But those deep laughs don't ever make you think. Dave Chappelle is one of the few that, in my opinion, he makes you think, but also gives you those deep laughs.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's on his own, man.
Because you also have the other people that are very heady and they just want to play like, I call it like head games like this. Like Tosh.0, like that guy, right? Chris Tosh is his name. Like all of his stuff, like didn't. It's like very like, oh, I'm so heady, right? And he plays all these little like comedy head games.
Yeah.
But because it's so like this, it never hits you like,
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like one of the few that's able to combine both worlds. And that's why that's his genius.
Yeah. He's a fucking badass for sure. Like he'll have something so profound and like you're just lost in thought. And then he'll give you like a pretty like fucking basic joke to accompany it.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, her pussy stank, you know, like it's something that small and it's kind of immature.
Yeah.
But it's just so fucking funny because he pulled you in the opposite direction for so long.
Like for example, here's the clearest example.
Were you listening to anything I fucking
never,
said?
I never listened to what you say.
Fuck.
No, I did. Of course I listen.
It doesn't sound like
I have ADHD. So even when you don't want me to listen, I'm listening. I hear all the in the toilet, all that stuff.
Wait, what the fuck? Where did that come from? Why you gotta put me on blast?
You ask me if I'm listening.
I'm always listening.
In all moments, I'm listening.
You're not.
I am. How do I know what that sounds like? I imitated to the T.
Because you're a pervert.
I am a pervert.
And you like that butt play shit.
Fine.
Go. What were you gonna say? Because you weren't listening.
I was listening.
Fine, you're listening. What were you gonna say?
So the clearest example is the Dave Chappelle, where he came out with the boycott HBO thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I could be completely messing up the what is it called?
Order?
The order of events. But this is how I took it. And I think this is how he made the magic happen. So he first talks about how when he was a kid, right, he got bullied, right? And then so he was pretty much saying how like someone pretty much bullied him. And it was like the most frightening thing in the world because he was like, oh, shit, my life could end in another man's. It's in control by another man. in someone else's hands. That's freaking crazy, right? He tells that whole story.
Is it the one where they're playing cards?
Yeah.
Card? Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
So you get that feeling. He puts that feeling on a shelf, right? Then later he talked. Then so you think he's over with it. So it kind of is like act two now. Is him talking about going up through Hollywood and all that stuff, and then all these contracts and stuff, and then big hit show, laugh, jokes. He put jokes all between it. You forgot what he put on the shelf. Then he gets to the point where now the show's done, but HBO has his likeness and everything in perpetuity. He can use his stuff no matter what. And once again, he's faced with the exact same feeling that he had when he was bullying. You know, that's genius. Like how he hit you with something that everyone can relate to, what everyone feels when they're not in control, they're vulnerable, they're not safe. And then he takes it to a very like almost niche Hollywood subject matter.
Yeah,
like
when you're talking lost.
When you're talking about contracts and royalties and stuff like that, most people that aren't in that field, like, you know, like with real estate, like when there's like this percentage, I'm like, wait, how come he gets 3%? What's the seller's commission? You know, it's very, very like inside whatever. And I don't understand. But then he makes it really relatable. And then boom, he goes, remember that feeling I just told you go?
That's how I feel right now.
He presses the button. Boom, hits you with it right now. And you're like, fuck, that is good.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Really good.
He is amazing.
Yeah, I'm never going to I'm never going to do stand up.
What about just performances in general?
Yeah, I would. I think this is the first year I've ever fully grasped that I'm any sort of entertainer.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think you're an entertainer?
No, I think this is the first year I've ever like fully been like, oh shit, I think I'm an entertainer. Yeah. It could be part of the whole, what's the new phrase now that everyone uses? Imposter syndrome. There's so many like terms popping up nowadays. Yeah. I think it's that.
What made you go, oh shit, I'm an entertainer?
And we're back. So what gave me that thought? I don't know if it was any specific moment that I could recall. I just think it was a series of things that were happening to me, not bad or anything, in 2020, that when I really tried to, oh, I know what's happening. So I'm doing constant self-work, right? And I'm trying to let go of a lot of stuff that doesn't serve me in physical form, in personal traits, in anything. Like if
mental,
all of it.
Defense mechanisms.
Space, like headspace. Like yeah. I'm trying to remove any like, I understand that negativity is just part of life and it helps you uncover a lot of things, right? So I definitely embrace it, but I don't want it to live in my head for a long time because I feel like that's just taking up my time and energy for me to focus on the positive shit. So any of that shit, I start throwing it away. And one of those was, well, what do I want out of 2021? What are my goals? Like, what am I trying to achieve? What do I currently have now that I want to keep? And what are things that I want to get rid of? And one of the things that I wanted to keep was I love, you know, the community that we've built via Barbell or just on my personal pages. I get the most amazing DMs all the time. I meet the coolest people, you know, on social media and stuff that follow our work. And in thinking that, I'm like, oh shit. Like, I think I really do enjoy this. Like, I think I really enjoy just sharing my life and sharing it unapologetically and just being completely open with everything that like any ups and like, there's nothing that I want to say we've shared like 90% of our lives.
I mean, like, we just shared that sometimes the jizz goes on the carpet,
you know?
Yeah.
Like we're just very open people. And when I was thinking about that and I was doing the trend, like show me a picture of, and then people write their stuff and just kind of going through all those memories, like 100% of my phone camera roll is just memories of like JK or Barbell or just different events that we did while I was in entertainment. Like I entered this YouTube space as your girlfriend, then turned into like more business admin on the end. That was like an occasional occasional face online, you know? So I think my introduction to this whole space was just a lot of resistance for me going like, I don't want any of this. Like, no, take it away, no, you know?
Yeah.
To where now,
and I think,
because I'm like, I never wanted this. This is not me. This is just something that I'm decent at, you know? So I'm just going to kind of go with the flow. But yeah. I finally embraced it. I'm like, oh shit. I'm not go with the flow. Like, this is 100% my fucking life. Like, I'm an entertainer. And it's just, it's so stupid sometimes when I, like, just me saying it out loud, it's like, no, duh, you stupid fuck. It's like me saying, like, wow, I'm tall. I just realized I'm tall. And everyone else is like, what? Yeah. Fucking, are you serious? But yeah. It's, I mean, it took a lot of me going back and forth and cleaning out my life where I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, I'm an entertainer.
You know what I think would do you a lot of good?
What?
Taking a stand-up comedy class, even if you never do stand-up. No, the class.
Well, I think I want to do more improv classes.
Yeah.
Oh, RIP, UCB, the space. They had to close.
At least not the main one. The main one on Franklin's still open.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
They said the one on Sunset is closed. But the main one, the Franklin one, that's the one we
went to school, right?
The one we did all our exhibitions at. The reason why I think stand-up comedy, at least the class that I took, shout out to Jerry Katzman. If you guys want to get stand-up comedy in the LA area, I highly recommend him. Super, super nurturing, very, very welcoming and encouraging. And he's a genius at helping you find your own material. And what I think he will help benefit you is I think he helped me find my voice as an artist too.
Oh.
So like, you know how when me and Joe first came out and did JK, we were like sketch artists, right? It's very easy for us to play different.
Y'all were SNL.
Yeah, different characters, guys, girls, old, young, different ethnic groups. What
animals.
Animals, character types. Like we could play. It was so comfortable for us and we could become that, right? Then when it came to vlogging, all of a sudden, like me and Joe would just freeze up. Like when it was just bare bones Bart or bare bones Joe, we would freeze up because we didn't know like how to be vulnerable or like what are our qualities that we want to share with the world. But when we're looking at it from an observational point of view, I'm like, oh, cool. Old Asian man. These are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 qualities and I'll play on these traits. We just didn't even have a clear view of our own traits.
Right.
But with stand-up comedy, at least in the class, they help me understand how the world views me and then what I'm passionate about and trying to find a mix in between.
Mm.
So one of the first things in class was pretty cool was I came out and wrote all the things that I was passionate about that I liked. But we didn't share that with anyone. Then me in front of 10 people, they all just brainstorm what they want to hear me talk about immediately.
what was some of the racist shit?
So for sure, it's like Asian stuff.
Yeah.
Like for me.
Obviously.
But for me, since I grew up like in the 626, I'm so over that Asian shit, right? Because I'm like, dude, I went to a high school that's like 60, 70% Asian. I don't think that's anything special. But if you're thinking about the global scale, or if you think about the internet, if you think about the world.
The world, I mean, that's still predominantly Asian.
Yeah, but like people aren't assimilated. So if someone comes out.
In the US, right.
Yeah, so when someone comes out, that is the elephant in the room. And you must address it as any public speaker, entertainer,
because they're not going to listen to anything you're saying, right? Because they're staring at what they want you to address.
Yeah, like if you come out on stage and you have a dick coming out of the side of your face.
And you never address it.
You got to talk about that first and then you can go into anything, right?
Yeah.
So that's why Kevin Hart, he's so good because the minute he comes out, he talks about how small he is, he's a little bitch and all that. And then you're like, I'm on your side. I know who you are. You talked about everything that I see. Now take me on your journey, right? So that was one of the things that really helped me because I'm like, crazy. So this is how the world views me.
How do they view you?
All the things I didn't care about. Asian, I'm jacked. I was in the military. It's very interesting. I think that's the main three that I remember. So my comedy teacher was like, you need to talk about these three things immediately before you start talking about how you grew up in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. Because that's going to throw everyone off.
Yeah, they're going to be like, huh?
Yeah. Because like one of my opening jokes was like about El Monte and stuff like that. And then they're like, wait, hold on a second. Like, you know, if you're an Asian guy with a cowboy hat, hello, y'all. And you just immediately just start talking about how like you like to ride bulls.
Horses. Oh.
It's weird, you know? You need to address why you wear a cowboy hat. Yeah. How did your parents get to where the hell they were at?
Yeah.
And how did you become who you are?
Yeah.
And so you got to talk about those things first. And then so that was really cool to understand what people see, what they want to hear versus what you want to talk about.
Right.
And now the art form is connecting the two together. And that's how you build like your first layer of fan base. Then when you're Kevin Hart, Chappelle, Joe Rogan, whatever, not like Joe Rogan doesn't have to talk about why he's jacked. You know why he's jacked now. He can just come in and talk about whatever the hell he wants. Dave Chappelle can come in and talk about whatever the hell he wants. But at least when you're still growing to that international stardom.
Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, and that's why I think it would really help you, because I've heard you also say many times that like sometimes you don't know what your like actual voice is. You kind of know like ballpark, you know, broad strokes.
Yeah.
And I think taking the class, not even actually doing it, but just going through the process of almost like voice development, I think it'd be so helpful.
Yeah, I want to do that. That'd be sick. Yeah, I don't know what I would. Yeah, I don't know what my voice is right now, because I think I've focused so much on building other things around me that I think these past couple of years have been the first years that I've really focused on myself. And I'm really happy with the progress that I've made to this point, but I think I want to like elevate and take it to the next level, which would be something like that. Also with like fitness and stuff, I want to do that as well. Just as an athlete.
Like take classes, fitness classes.
As an athlete, yeah. I want to take different courses and stuff. Yeah. That's awesome. I just want to be an athlete. I want to feel capable again. Yeah, that's where I'm at. But that class sounds really cool.
Yeah. Cause like the way that he taught it, it's not like it's almost like the theory and the working mechanism to producing jokes rather than this is how you tell a joke. A, set up B, and then you have a punchline C. Like that's almost like week 8, 9, and 10 where you kind of understand joke structure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Do you think you and I learn the same though? Because you're very theory based. I'm not so much theory based. I'm more of like, I need to get thrown into the environment and do it.
Yeah, that's what you'll do.
Oh, okay.
Like when we took the class, he rents a theater like every Monday night or Thursday night, whatever it was. And you go on the stage.
Oh, fucking
shit. So there's a mini stage and then it's just students. So it's just 10 students. And you go on the stage and then he has to tape yourself so you see what you look like. So that way you can see on the tape what other people see of you and what you look like on camera visually to them. You know? Because then you're so used to staring at yourself in the mirror. And when you stare yourself at the mirror, you have biased eyes. You're looking at what you want to look at.
Yeah.
And then this is what other people are seeing, you know? And then so that whole development process, I've seen them produce so many successful students.
That's so cool.
And even in my class, I've seen people that were kind of timid and they kind of like come out of their shell and tell very interesting stories. Like some may not end up being funny, because I think funny also, you need some sort of talent a little bit. But because it's more artist development and almost material harnessing, like I can totally see people take this class and now start a blog and not even have anything to do with comedy. Mm-hmm. Just because they've been able to harness their voice. Like, what do people see about me? What do I have to add to the world? And what am I passionate about? I can totally see like this class is helping you harness
that's
material.
Super cool. Yeah. Yeah. I need that. I think social media does a really great job of showing you your, what is it? Like your shortcomings, you know, because you're constantly, and people always say this, like, you shouldn't compare yourself, but I mean, you can't help it, right? Because Instagram and just everything is so visual and it's like everyone putting their best foot forward and there's editing and there's, you know, a lot of fabrication happening. So as you're scrolling subconsciously, you're taking in all this information and you're trying to level yourself up. But what are you comparing that to, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's easy for, at least that's how I feel, where I'm like, fuck. And this whole fucking lockdown, you know, where I'm like, what am I right now? Like me thinking like, holy shit, I can't believe I left my house 5 times a week. Like that just sounds crazy to me now. Like I was leaving my house 5 times a week and I was wearing different going out clothes 5 times out of the 7 day week.
Now you wear the same clothes for 7 days.
No, I wear the same clothes for like 3 days.
It's fine.
Yeah, but like shit like that, like where I'm just like, who am I right now? What do I have that's different than anyone else?
Yeah.
Because we all look the same. Everyone's
do the same things.
Yeah, everyone's at home with the same 2 people because we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to get sick or get anyone else sick. So it's like the same shit. Like I see the same background, the same walls, the same stories or whatever.
In some ways, if you think about it like that, this is the most relatable we'll ever be.
True. Very true.
Like this is the most we've
all connected.
Been in the same boat.
Yeah.
We'll ever be.
Yeah. Very true.
Like how many people do we know, like all of a sudden took up hiking or mountain biking. Everyone. And they've never done it before.
All of us.
And then they did it one time and they're like, okay, so that's the reason why I never do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let me return this. Yeah. I can't return it faster. Yeah, we all know exactly what we're going through. I think this was the first time I actually liked Kevin Hart's stand-up. Like, I like his stand-up before.
His most recent one?
Yeah, but I think this is the one that's resonated with me the most because he just felt the most human to me. You know, whereas before, it always felt like, yes, it's still him, they're his stories, but it just felt a little too uppity, a little too, like, positive, you know?
Kind of. What does uppity mean to you?
Like positive, like too on the...
Too positive?
Yeah, like...
And not real enough?
Yeah.
And like, no one's that positive.
Yeah, like it just didn't feel vulnerable enough. Like, yes, he was talking about vulnerable topics. For example, I guess it would just be the cheating one. But like that was the elephant in the room that he needed to address.
You have to get it out, yeah.
And that was like the most vulnerable I felt him be. Whereas before it was just about how he's short or like, you know... Like even his family history or whatever, like how he feels about his kids, but it never really felt vulnerable. Whereas now it just feels like, I'm like, now you're more human because it's positive and negative and it's just all fucking thrown in. And he's just like, I don't know. He just feels real now.
Yeah. It's also a different room too. You know, like as an artist, like you play to the room. And then I think the room lends itself to the art as well. So when we saw Kevin Hart, we saw him at the, what is it, like the Citizens Bank Stadium or whatever. And he's a legit rock star. 360 stage, probably like 40,000 people, yeah. Right? Everywhere there are signs. The minute we see you pull out your cell phone, that thing's gone.
Yeah, you're getting kicked the fuck out.
So he's doing a rock star show, right? Yeah. So that's the act that he has to put together.
Oh, I see. He needs to connect with
yeah, for this many one, people. For this one, he's doing...
In his living room.
Yeah, he's doing like a coffee shop show.
And I call it his newest stand-up. I don't even know if it's newest.
It's his newest one.
It's the one on Netflix.
So it's like almost taking like Metallica doing like Giant Stadium. And then now you're listening to his acoustic version, his acoustic set at the coffee lounge. So it's going to feel way different, you know?
I guess I'm talking about the material. Like yeah, what he,
it dictates the material too.
I see.
Because now he's not going to throw things that are going to be like straight bangers. He has to be able to, material like that is, it's overkill for if he could only see 20 people.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like it's too crazy. It's too.
Yeah,
it's,
you're too in the know for me.
It's too, it's like, it's almost like, it's same thing like if in a coffee shop. You want some like, hey there, the dialer, blue, 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 blue. You want some of that kind of stuff, right? And everyone's just kind of like, snapping their fingers, having a good time. You don't want some guy going, yeah!
I get it for music. Smashes
guitar and then fucking jumps into the crowd and crowd surfs.
I get it for music.
Same thing with comedy. Like there's some
because there's like
outs,
a noise level.
Exactly. But with comedy, there's the same thing. There's some act outs. You know, some things like you tell to like one person and you guys can die laughing.
And then you repeat it to someone else and they're like,
and someone
I don't
hears
get it.
It and they're like, what? Because that joke was a two person level joke. You know? And then there's jokes that you can tell like 1,000 people and it's roaring.
I don't know that feeling.
And then you tell one person and it's, or they think you're weird because yeah. It's too crazy.
Oh.
Like one of my favorite bits of Kevin Hart was in his last one where, not this last one, but the last one.
Oh, God, the robbers?
Yeah, the robber goes in, oh, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to get you one. And then he's like, you know, pull out a gun from the laundry machine, from the mailbox, from whatever, right?
Oh, his when he's imagining if they break into his house.
Yeah, because he has guns stored everywhere. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm going to give you what you want. And that joke would not fly with 10 people.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, this guy's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You need the low-key vulnerable stuff to like, so he's playing to the room.
Wow. I never even thought about it like that. I was just like, what are you talking about? A joke is a joke. Oh, I'm so dumb.
No, it depends. Yeah,
yeah, I get it
now. You play the room. You got to feel the room. And that's why stand-up comedy, it takes so much experience. Because even like, you know, when I used to do stand-up, I have 8 o'clock slots, 10 o'clock slots. When people have alcohol in their system, they laugh at different things. Mm. Same crowd. Then you have like different ethnicities, different backgrounds. So if you're doing a if you're doing like a Laugh Factory show, right? And Saturday night, that's date night. That means people from all over the world, you got to tell very broad comedy jokes.
Mm.
For it to
so
hit.
Then these when you're a comedian, because I know you're trying to work on your set. So then are you picking your time and your location depending on what type of crowd it attracts? if you're working on a set?
So if you have that clout, that juice, you can do that. Kevin Hart can go anywhere he wants, anytime, jump in, and anyone will take him. When it was me, it was whatever slot was. Yeah, every, like, there's times I was booked for 7, I go on stage at 11.
Yeah, I remember that. That's when Ben Baller.
Yeah, shout out to Ben Baller. He came out to support.
And he came at 7, and he didn't go up till 11.
And I kept going backstage and saying, I'm so sorry. And, you know, but that's the experience that makes you a good comedian, because things like that happen. And so you look through out of the green room and you're like, cool, there's a hell of Hispanic people in here. I'm going to relate to them because I grew up with a lot of Hispanics. Easy. You go in your green room, chill for an hour. You come back out. It's like, what the fuck? It's all black people now. Fuck. All my Mexican jokes out the window. You know?
So does that mean you just don't use them anymore?
No, you gotta stay on your toes. You gotta like, and then that's why you have your actual bunch of A-list jokes, your A-list jokes. Those are the ones that work with anyone, everyone, anytime, anywhere. So those ones, then you got to come out with those. And then, like, let's say I'm not familiar with maybe like a all Indian crowd. I got to come out with my A-list jokes, see what parts of the jokes they're laughing at to know how I can now put other parts of it in, because now I've read the room.
Wow, that's so wild.
Yeah, now I know. Okay, cool. So they kind of liked it when I talked about my parents. Let's talk about my parents a little bit more. Or they kind of liked it how I failed in school because they thought it was so funny to get a B. So let me like talk more about like school stuff. You know?
I wish they had, you know how they have like BTS of like the movies that we love? Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be so cool if we can talk to like a retired comedian. I don't think comedians ever really retire, but I guess they retire from entertaining or growing up.
Yeah.
So a retired comedian, and then they walk us through like their thought process of like, why did you go with this joke? Was that part of the set list or did you deviate and why? You know, like just hearing that whole thought process.
Yeah, I don't know if that'll ever fly.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving away your secret recipe.
Yeah, that's almost like asking a magician how he did it. They honestly, they might, if someone's that masterful, they'd actually
magicians
might.
They do tell you how they do
not
shit.
Not their best jokes, or not their best tricks.
I see.
Someone like Joe Rogan, I feel like he's so vulnerable, he actually might tell you. Because he's just on this like wavelength, like once I tell you, I've become that much better. That's what it feels like from him. Yeah. But for most, a lot of it is just like, it's intuition. And everyone also has a different way of dealing with it. Like there's not one right way. You know, like the shock factor comedian, if he feels like he's not getting the room, he might try to deep throat the microphone. You know, it's just like everyone.
I know that comedian.
Exactly. Like there's different types of like people that would read the room and do things in a different way. Some person might be like, oh, fuck, the room feels kind of dry. Hey, where are you from? You know, do some crowd work, liven the crowd up a little bit, make you feel more personal, bring it down a little bit. So now all the tension isn't up here, is down there. So there's so many tools that people can use, you know?
Yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. It sounds nuts.
Yeah, so you read the room, you kind of see what all the tools you have, and then you kind of play with it. And there's no right way, because every comedian would have done it differently. And that's why, you know, when you watch stand-up comedy, and this is like directed by, like when I didn't understand comedy that much, I'm like, directed by? What do you mean? He's just one person talking. But then now I understand, because as you do different nights, because they'll record like 3 nights in a row and then cut together the best stuff, there's probably notes after every single set to talk about, oh, this was good. Or when you get to this part of the stage, look here, pause here. I'll really capture that moment. You know, because they're really just trying to capture a live moment. So yeah. So there is actual direction. Do this, do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's so insightful. Yeah, I'm down to take that course. I mean, we are going to Vegas in a couple months. Oh my God, it's right around the corner. So I don't know if all you can find. I mean, I'm sure Vegas has that, yeah?
Probably.
Or maybe online.
I just really like Jerry Katzman, though.
I mean, but he's in LA.
Yeah.
So you're saying take like a Zoom, Skype?
Or maybe take a class in January. Maybe everything's opened up. Who knows?
This is January.
I mean, like in a week or two.
Oh, fuck.
Like deep January. Not shallow January.
Deep January. Yeah. I like that. Like, you know, week 3 or 4.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll keep you guys in the loop. That's it. We've reached the end of our podcast.
Oh, nice. And I don't have anything else to say. Thank you.
Perfect. Oh, my God. That's perfect.
You always ask me.
I wasn't going to ask you this time.
You weren't?
No, because I just want to say thank you to all our sponsors.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. And thank you guys for listening. So we'll see you guys in a couple of days.
See you later.
Bye.